So today's shiur is largely based, or almost totally based on, a shiur I heard from Rav Salbeitzer, Rav Sal the Rav, heard on tape. I was too young. I call myself a grand Talmud of Rav Salbeitzer. I try to call myself that. But if you're interested in the tape, have it right here. Topic. And I think what he had to say, A, it's a beautiful, beautiful word in the Chumash, and B, I think we can certainly apply it to here in seminary, and particularly to this time period here in seminary. So we'll start from source one. The Rebbe was giving the Rashi and Ramban about Parshas Re. So source number one, you read Parshas Re, the pasuk says, Re'enu k'nosei p'nechoyim brachu u'kola. Behold, I am given before you, Hashem says, today, a bracha and a kola. That's what the pasuk says. So we find here a very interesting machlokas between Rashi and the Ramban as to how to understand this pasuk in the Torah. The pasuk says, "I am presenting for you bracha kola." What's the pshat in the pasuk? Now, if you look a few lines, a few psukim later, the pasuk says this parsha in Re'e is discussing what idea? The brachas and kolas on Harizim and Hareva. When Bnei Yisrael entered Eretz Yisrael, so Hashem gave him a tzivui that they would give brachas and kolas on Harizim and Hareva. So that's mentioned later in the pasuk. It says later in source number one in the parasha there. It says v'nasato es habracha al Harizim v'esakola al Hareva. So that's mentioned a few pasukim later. So there's machlokas between Rashi and the Ramban how to understand this parasha. Rashi says, "Re'anu k'nosein bracha u'kola." What does Rashi say? Ha'amuros. Rashi says that when Pasuk Aleph refers to the bracha and kola, Pasuk Aleph is referring to what? The bracha and kola, which will be said later on Hargrizim and Hareva. Meaning Rashi understands the word bracha and kola in Pasuk Aleph refers to the same bracha and kola mentioned a few lines later, the bracha and Hargrizim and Hareva. That's how Rashi reads the parsha. That's how Rashi reads the parsha. Oh, okay. But let's look at the Ramban. The Ramban learns this parsha totally differently. The Ramban says as follows: he quotes Rashi and he says Rashi, he doesn't like Rashi. Source three: Elepe Rusho, ki ani no sein lifnechem derech bracha v'derech kola v'tam lifnechem shetivaruchem mehen mashatirtzu. Etc. The Ramban says that the phrase brachu kola and pasuk aleph is not referring to the bracha and kola which Bnei Israel is going to give on Harizim and Hareva when they get to Eretz Israel. No, bracha and kola refer to derech bracha the derech kola. There are two ways. There are two drachim. There are two pathways in life. There's the path of bracha and the path of kola. And the pasuk here is saying that you have to choose, which you have to choose the one that you want, and of course the one that you're supposed to want is the derech of bracha. In a word, according to the Ramban, what is pasuk aleph? What concept in Torah Hashkafa is pasuk aleph teaching us about? Two words. Okay, Rashi is correct. According to the Ramban, pasuk aleph is the first place in the Torah where the Torah directly relates to the concept of Bechir Rashi. That's what the Torah is saying. Re'eh Hashem is saying, listen, behold, I'm giving before you, there's the path of bracha and the path of klala. And obviously you have to choose the right path to go on. According to the Ramban, this pasuk aleph in Parshas Re'eh is referring to the concept of Bechir Chofshis. According to Rashi, Bechir Chofshis is mentioned here. According to Rashi, bracha klala here refers to the bracha klala. They're going to get on Hargrizim and Hareva. Nothing to do with Bechir Chofshis. Is the machlokas clear? That is step one. That's the machlokas between Rashi and the Ramban about how to understand a bracha u'kola. Now, why didn't Rashi learn like the Ramban? What was Rashi? This, by the way, everything I'm saying now is from the Rav, from Rav Salvation. Why didn't Rashi learn like the Ramban? Because, Rav explained, if you look at source number four in Parshas Nitzavim, and you read the psukim there, we find the parshas Nitzavim, a very long parsha which talks about what? About what? Tachino Chavshis, read the psukim, the ones that are underlined. Rei Nesatu Fenecha Hayom Asachayim Vesatov Vesmavus Vesaro Ashenochem Tzachayim Av Hashem Okecha, etc. Go down to the bottom. Rebachatze Vachayim, choose life, choose the right path of life. So the Torah and Parshas Nitzavim presents for us the Parsha of Bechira Chavshis. We all have Bechira Chavshis to do the right thing. Oh, so Chol Rashi saying as follows: the Torah already talks about Bechira Chavshis, the Parsha Nitzavim. Why would I? Why should it be that the Torah would mention it again in Parshas Re'eh? In other words, mentioning Bechira Chavshis is based. Mentioning Bechira Chavshis in Parshas Re'eh is redundant. It's superfluous. It's extra. So that's why Rashi doesn't like the Ramban's Pshat. According to the Ramban's Pshat, the Torah mentions Bechira Chavshis twice, and one appears to be superfluous. That's why Rashi says, no, the Parsha in Re'eh never mentions Bechira Chavshis. It's only referring to the Baruch Mark, Bechira Chavshis, nothing to do with Bechira Chavshis. Bechira Chavshis, you wait for Parshas Nitzavim. If you look at the Tefillah Zakah, you say, before Yom Kippur, source number 5, so in Tefillah Zakah, the person who wrote Tefillah Zakah refers to Bechira Chavshis. Which pasuk does he quote for Bechira Chavshis? Which pasuk? The one in the 7. So the Rav said that he knew the Rashi. He knew the one whoever wrote Tefillah Zakah goes like Rashi. That's why he chose the pasuk in Nitzavim. Normally, which pasuk would you choose if you're quoting from the Torah? Which pasuk would you choose normally? The first one. Why does he wait to choose the one of Parashas Nitzavim? Because the pasuk in Re'eh isn't talking about Bechira Chavshis. Like who says? Like Rashi says. Okay. So Shitas Rashi is very clear. Re'eh is referring to the Baruch and Kol and Hagizim and Areva. Nitzavim refers to Bechira Chavshis. Fine. However, the question that remains and the major topic of today's shiur is, according to the Ramban, that the psukim in Parshas Re'eh are talking about what? Bechira Chavshis. Then we have a problem that the Torah repeats the parsha of Bechira Chavshis twice. It mentions it once in Re'eh and again in Nitzavim. The question is why? Every word of the Torah is precious. The Torah never repeats itself for no reason. There must be some sort of message or lesson in the fact that the Torah mentions the parsha of Bechira Chavshis twice. And that's the issue which Rav Soloveitchik discussed in this shiur, in his shiur. Now the truth is, the first pshat the Rav gave, I once heard also explained in a similar way by his brother, Rav Aaron Soloveitchik Zatzal. And I'll say it over there, Rav Aaron said it. The Rav said it basically the same, but it's a little different twist. So I'll say it over there, Rav Aaron Soloveitchik said it over. Rav Aaron Soloveitchik said that there really are two types of Bechira. If you look at the Parsha in Re'eh, it mentions Bechira on a basic level. But in Nitzavim, the Torah goes into much more details about your whole life, and it can be changed, and it has many more details. It's a much longer Parsha of Bechira. So Rav Aaron said as follows. Basically, there's a minor Bechira and a major Bechira. Those aren't the words he used, but I'm just using those words to explain the point. Re'eh is a minor Bechira. A person has a choice through mitzvah and aveira. You have a choice to bench or not to bench. You have to choose to bench. There's a certain amount of mesiras nefesh. Sometimes it's hard. You have to do the mitzvah in a local, specific way. However, sometimes there are choices, there are bechira choices, that are a major bechira. That one choice you make will impact on many thousands of other choices you make. So even though you're making one choice now, you have a bechira on one area, on one issue in life, but this one bechira, you're aware, sort of carries with it many, many other bechiras. So this bechira is a major bechira. It's choosing to really change the course of your entire life. I mean, the ultimate example, of course, is a Baal Tshuva. A Baal Tshuva decides to keep Shabbos. That's one decision. But that one decision carries with it thousands of other decisions. So the strength a person needs to, let's say, become a Baal Tshuva is a heroic strength to not just change one piece of your life, but to change your entire life. And that's a much harder Bechira to make. It's a much harder choice to make. So it might be, Rav Aaron said, when the Torah gives you the second parasha of Bechira in the Tzavim, it's coming exactly to teach you this Nekuda. Don't think you're limited. Don't think that you don't have the ability to change your entire life. You have the ability to not only change little pieces of your life, you also have the ability, the heroic strength, to change your life as a whole. One example being a Baal Tshuva. You don't have to be a Baal Tshuva. Let's say a person's deciding where to go to college. So first, that's one decision. College X or college Y. But sometimes, the choices as to which college to go to will automatically impact on many other areas of your life. And that one choice carries it automatically brings about many, many other choices as well. So a person knows that this is a difficult decision, and if you make one choice, your life will go in one direction, and another choice in another direction. That's a harder bechira to make. It's a bechira to change your entire life. I've been assuming for 18 years I'm going to one college. Now to decide to switch, it's a difficult change. Because I know that this switch not only changes this where I'm going to college, it changes my whole future, my whole direction. And it's very difficult for a person to shift gears and change the whole direction. You might think it's impossible to do that. Hashem is saying, no, it's possible to do it. You have the ability, you have the strength to change your entire life around and make a choice that shifts your direction completely. And that's the special bechira mentioned in Parshas Nitzavim. Rav Aaron gave a mashal for this. The mashal isn't exact, because in the mashal that he gives, it happened by itself, but the idea is still the same. He said he had a boy in his class who was a Baal Tshuva. And they would always ask the boys, you know, how did they become Baal Tshuva? So the boy said, well, he was growing up in the 50s, New York, he wasn't religious. He was in public school. And his parents wanted to send him to a Jewish summer camp. So they asked the New York State for a list of summer camps in New York. They got a list. The first name on the list was Camp Aguda. A-G. A-G. It's the beginning of the Camp Aguda. His parents said, fine, we'll send you to Camp Aguda. They weren't aware of what Camp Aguda was like exactly. So this guy, a non-religious Jew from public school, goes to Camp Aguda. Well, they were excited to get him. Once he was there, they showed him what tzitzis were and what brachos were. And in the course of that summer, he became religious. So that's an example where one choice, i.e. to go to Camp Aguda, literally changed this boy's entire life. But that choice happened by itself. You know, that was like mazal from Hashem. That it had hashkacha from Hashem. But the same idea that sometimes we have choices in life where one choice automatically carries with it many other ones. I'll call it a major bechira. That's also true. And the Torah is saying that a person has the strength to make not just a minor bechira, but also this major bechira where you change the course of your entire life. That's one shot which the Rav gave, which Rav Aaron said as well. For that, we need a separate parsha to teach us that even that is within our koach. A Jew should never sell themselves short. Even the most difficult of choices is possible. All right. That's shot number one. The second shot the Rav said relates not to the wording of the psukim in the tzavim, but rather in the context, the placement of the psukim in the tzavim. When the Torah gives us the parsha of Bechir Chashis in the tzavim, what is the topic which immediately precedes that parsha? What's the topic? It will look there in the Chumash. Ki mitzvah zos, asher nochem tzav chayom, lo niflesim imcha, etc. The parsha of Tshuva. That's how the Ramban was. Parsha of Tshuva. That Perek Lamed of Dvarim, parsha Nitzavim, it discusses Tshuva. First you should do Tshuva. And it's lo b'shamayim, you have the ability to do Tshuva. And then the Torah mentions again the parsha of Bechir Chashis. So the Rav explained beautifully as follows. He says, you know, we all know that the bechira of a Baal Tshuva, the bechira that a Baal Tshuva requires, is tremendous. The willpower, the determination someone needs, to ignore strange events and stay focused on the shir. Okay, the willpower and determination a person needs to reform themselves and change is tremendous. It is much more difficult to sin and like sin and enjoy sin and then drop sin than it is to never sin at all. Once a person's involved in chait and you enjoy it, then to stop is of course much, much harder. That's what the Gemara says. The Gemara says that the place where Baal Tshuva stands, Tzaddikim Gemurim don't stand. Why? Because to be a Baal Tshuva requires a tremendous amount of effort, even more effort than is required to be an ordinary Jew. When a person does tshuva, they change themselves. It's almost like a rebirth. You're a new person. You change your way of life. The Gemara says that when you want to do tshuva, sometimes you change your name, you change the place where you live. What does that mean, change your name? What does that mean? It means you're becoming a new person. Tshuva means you're a new person. The person who was here yesterday is a person involved in sin. The person I am today is different. I am a new person. I am not the same person I was yesterday. To make step into a new person, that requires a giant. A giant. Someone with tremendous, tremendous willpower. So the Rav said as follows. Hashem gave us the parasha of Bechira in Parsha Re'eh. That's ordinary Bechira. Do mitzvos, don't do aveiros. Then Hashem gave us the mitzvah of tshuva. We can change. Now, but to change, to do tshuva is very hard. After giving us the mitzvah of tshuva, Hashem says, listen, to do tshuva, I have to give you something else. I have to give you a second, more powerful, potent parsha of Bechira Chavshis, that even tshuva is possible. So the chiddush of the second parasha of Bechira, according to this pshat, is that even tshuva, which requires the willpower of a giant, even that is within our potential, and even that we're capable of doing. Oh, so that's the second pshat. That's the second pshat. Why the Torah mentions Bechira Chavshis again, to teach us that even tshuva, one of the hardest mitzvahs, to make yourself a new person. You're a new person. Which is true. A person is defined by many things. One aspect of what defines a person is what they do with their time. How does a person spend their free time? A person's in seminary for a year, they spend a lot of time in class, with daven and different things. Then we all have free time. What do I do in my free time? That defines who I am. So a person who, in his or her free time, does things that are inappropriate, okay, that defines who the person is. That person does inappropriate things. That's part of the person's basic nature. Then a person changes and stops doing the inappropriate things and spends her free time doing the correct things, the more appropriate things. She's a new person. She's a different person. She may have the same name, but basically we have a new person in front of us. The person yesterday wasn't there anymore. We have a new person in front of us. So making step into a new person is very difficult to do, but it's doable. It's possible. How do I know? The Torah says, "V'charta v'chaim." Ask to give me the parsha of tshuva. It again says you can choose life, you can choose to serve Hashem well. So the Rav pointed out that really the two answers are very similar. Both answers are saying that basically Parshas Re'eh focuses on a simple, ordinary, basic Bechira, and Parshas Nitzavim is referring to that aspect of life which requires a much more difficult, stronger type of Bechira.
Either a Bechira which you know will affect many, many areas of your life,
or it requires the highest levels of Bechira because you're trying to be abolished tshuva and change how you act. Got to yourself? That's what the Rav said, the Chukshatin, that he said to answer this very difficult question. According to the Ramban, why does the Torah repeat the parasha of Bechira twice? I want to mention a third answer, which I heard from a friend of mine, Rav Aaron Cohen. Rav Aaron Cohen is now one of the top teachers in Stern, among many of the great teachers Stern has. He is one of the top among many. And he's a shul rabbi in Passaic, New Jersey. He's a great teacher. So he gave the following answer. He wanted to say as follows. See, the Rav's two approaches, basically, which is the basic parsha, which is the new parsha, according to what the Rav said. What's the basic parsha? Ray. What's the new parsha? Nitzavim. Rav Cohen wanted to say maybe the opposite. He wanted to say as follows. Nitzavim is the basic parsha. The Torah says, you have Bechir Chavshis, Uvachar Tzavachayim. You have a choice and choose the right way. That's the mitzvah, Bechir Chavshis. You have a choice and make the right choice. Parshas Re'eh, interestingly, never says what. What does Parshas Re'eh never say? What to do, what to choose. All it says is, Re'eh Netadei Ve'chamiyah, Brachol Kola, you have a choice. Parshas Re'eh, all it says, it presents, I have a choice. So he wanted to say as follows, that the basic Parshas Bechira is in Savin. Choose the right thing. But Parshas Re'eh is like, precedes that. Parshas Re'eh is saying as follows. Some people think, you know, it's wonderful that I have clear Chavshis. Wonderful thing. The problem is I can't do it. The issues that I'm facing, they're too difficult. Right. I can't change. I know who I am. I can't change. I know Bechira Chavshis exists as a concept. and I'm supposed to choose the right thing. But I can't. I can't. I know. I can't change. I know who I am. So for that, we have Parshas Re'eh. What does Re'eh say? Listen, people. Listen. Re'eh, you have a choice. You have, there's a bracha and a kola. Parshas Re'eh is emphasizing the basic point. Before you get to choosing the right thing, never think you don't have a choice. You have a choice. Bechira Chofshis is complete. 100%. There are no limits to Bechira Chofshis. So when the Torah gives us a separate, special pasuk which says, Re'eh, behold, I am putting before you bracha and kola, what the Torah is teaching us is, never assume that it's impossible to change. The choice is there. In other words, it's like for emphasis. For emphasis, the Torah is saying that before you get to the choice of whether you can choose the right thing or the wrong thing, even before that, you have to always realize the choice is there. And that's what Parshas Re'eh is teaching us, that we have unlimited, full-level, full-fledged control of Bechira Chofshis of choose to do the right thing. You hear the pshat. The basic mitzvah of Bechira Chofshis is where? In its oven. Choose to do the right thing. Re'eh is saying, listen, before you get to choose to do the right thing, always remember you can choose to do the right thing. Doesn't mean I can't do it. I can't do it. It's impossible for me. But that's not true. Parshas Re'eh teaches us every Jew has the ability, the power, to choose to do the right thing. It's similar to the Rosh Hashanah, but it's like switched around, and you know which parsha. I heard on tape from my Rebbe Rav Shechter Shlita another word from the Rav, which I think fits into this. When the Rambam and the Mishnayos talk about Bechira Chofshis, so it doesn't say every Jew has Bechira Chofshis. It doesn't say Yesh L'chol Chav Bechira Chofshis. There's a specific phrase that the Rambam and the Mishnayos use. It says HaRishus Nesuna B'yad Kol Adam. Rishus Nesuna. The Rishus is given to every person to be a tzaddik or to be a Russian. HaRishus Nesuna. There's a Rishus given. It doesn't say every Jew Yesh L'chol Adam B'chir Kofshis. It doesn't say that. It's HaRishus Nesuna B'yad Kol Adam to be a tzaddik or be a Russian. Now the word Rishus sometimes means permission. But of course here it doesn't mean permission. The word Rishus, what does the word Rishus mean here? What does the word Rishus mean in this context? More, authority, power. You know, sometimes the word Rishus is used, something's under your authority, under your power. It's in your power. That's the language of the Rambam, of Mishnah. HaRishus Nesuna, you have the power. It's in your authority to be a tzaddik or a rasha. And Rav Shechter said that the Rav said the pshat which Rav Cohen said in the pasuk in Re'eh, that pshat about how you have the ability to always to make the right choice in all cases. The Rav said that's the pshat in this phrase Rishus. That's what the language is teaching us. You have the power, you have the authority to become a tzaddik or a rasha. It's totally under your control. You see, you might own something, but it's not under your control. Some people own dogs, and they're wild animals, literally. And they don't really control them. I mean, they own them. They're in the house, but they can't control them. So saying yesh, that every Jew has Bechira Chofshis, isn't enough. Rishus Nesuna means not that you have it. It's you control it. It's in your power. You have the power. You have the authority. You have the control, the full power to be a tzaddik or a rasha. That's what Rabbi Cohen was saying. That's how Rabbi Cohen understands these psukim. The Bechira Chofshis is complete. We have complete, full power over our yetzer tovs and yetzer haras to choose to do the right thing, and the fact that it's complete and full is hinted at in the words which the Mishnah used to describe Bechira Chofshis. What's the word it uses? Rishus Nesuna. You have the authority, you have the power to make the right choice. Is that clear? Rav Shechter Shlita also quoted the following board, a beautiful board. He said that the Rishonim say that every time we daven, we say Hashem Svasai Tiftach Ufi Agiuti Vasa. Right, Hashem Svasai Tiftach Ufi Agiuti Vasa. Which of course means literally very simply that Hashem open my what is Vasai? My lips. And I will say praises to Him. I'm about to daven. So I ask Hashem to open my lips so I can say praises to you. That's Pasuk Shah. Okay, and that is a Pashuk Shah. This is not much beautiful, but the word Safa, the word Saf, also has another meaning. If you have a river, you come to the bank of the river, that's the Saf. Or you have an ocean, the beach, the edge of the ocean is called the Saf Hayam, the edge. The word Saf means the edge or the limits of something. That's what it means. So one of the Rishonim says, Talmud of the Ramban, he quoted, one of the Talmudim of the Ramban says that when a person davens, we're making the following tefillah. Every person feels they have limits. Every person has fasayim. I have limits. I can't be the most religious Jew. It's impossible for me. I can't run so much. I can't be such a big tzaddik. I can't do it. I know my limits. Hashem, I know my limits. I can't do it. But the truth is, you can. The truth is with Hashem's help. A person can open and go past what they think their limits are. And that's what it's a beautiful pshat. That's what we're saying every time we daven. Hashem, sfasai tiftach. Hashem, help me open and get past those limits that I put upon myself. And allow me to be a tzaddik. I'll sing your praise with big yitzhi l'asecha. Let me be a great tzaddik. We're asking Hashem for help. Hashem, I mistakenly think sometimes that I'm limited to be a great tzaddik. No! Help me, Hashem. Help me break past the barriers of these limits that I don't really have, which I think I have. Help me get past these self-imposed limits. Hashem's fasai, my limits, the limits that I impose on myself, help me get past them. Siftah, you help me, Hashem, and I can get past them, and I can be a great tzaddik. It's a similar idea, that the Rosh Hashanah Nesuna, a person should never think, I'm stuck, I can't do it, I can't change, it's not true. We are full-fledged B'chir Chavshis. Hashem's fasai, Hashem can help us get past these boundaries, these barriers. And we have the full-fledged prerequisites to choose to do the right thing.